We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll put a Bible in your hand. We are going to be in Exodus chapter 25 here this morning. Again, baptism today at 4 o'clock, and so if you haven't been baptized, understand baptism does not save you. Jesus saves you. And once you've received Jesus, you get baptized for obedience. Is baptism necessary for salvation? No. It is 100% necessary for obedience. You can't tell me you've been obedient in Christ if you've not been baptized. So, we are going to have a baptism today at 4 o'clock. Come on out. It's going to be a blessed time. We're also going to do a little prayer and praise because that's usually what we do on the last Sunday of the month. And so you get a little glimpse of that as well. And so it'll be a really fun time here this afternoon. So hopefully we'll see a lot of you back here at 4 o'clock. And even if you don't need to be baptized, it's kind of like just come and celebrate those and the family of Christ that are doing so. So with that, let's go to Exodus chapter 25, and we are going to talk about here this morning of the lampstand, which obviously Jesus is the light of the world, okay? And so we're going to be showing how the lampstand speaks of Jesus Christ. But before that, let's again take a look at here. This is the tabernacle is the actual structure. The fencing around it is not the tabernacle, it's the courtyard. Okay, this is, again, 75 feet long, 150 feet wide is the fencing, but the actual structure itself is only 15 feet wide, okay, and 45 feet long. So we're going to take a look at this next one here, so you get a look at the inside. So the first compartment is 15 by 30, and the second compartment where the Ark of the Covenant is 15 by 15. And so you're able to see the lampstand there on the south side. The table of showbreads on the north side. Remember, you enter into the holy place from the east, so you're heading east as you're going in this way. And so this is the east. You're heading in. This would be the west. You turn your back on the east. And so, again, you can kind of get a layout of what's kind of going on inside of here. Just a quick little visual for you. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 24, it says, he put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across the table, meaning the table of showbread, on the south side of the tabernacle. So again, that tells you the direction of where that is. The lampstand is on the south side. The word south is Negev. And so it's interesting from where Jerusalem is that the south of that is the Negev desert. Okay, and the Negev means arid, it means desert. It's from the primitive root word, which means to glitter, to illuminate, to lighten, to shine. Okay, and so the light from the golden lampstand filled every corner of the holy place, providing illumination so that the priest could minister. We're going to see here today, again, that the lampstand points to the person of Jesus. Now, I'm going to show you some pictures of the lampstand. And when you Google it, if you Google the golden lampstand in the tabernacle, you'll get all sorts of different pictures and you'll see really big lampstands. And I don't really think it was that big. And there's a couple of reasons for that, as we're going to get into here in a moment. But for one, the amount, a talent of gold to make this thing isn't enough to make it as big and as elaborate as I think a lot of pictures portray. Secondly, because gold is so malleable, it's very hard for it to stay under its own weight if it's so big. As a matter of fact, they don't even know how to make it today, all right? And so the pictures I'm going to show you, I don't necessarily think it's that big. When we were in Timnah, there in Israel, and they have an actual tabernacle that they set up, when you go in there, theirs is much smaller. Theirs is about this big right here. And the reason why I think that works is because, as you saw inside the tabernacle, the only area it has to illuminate is a 15 by 30 area. okay? It doesn't need to illuminate a huge area like this sanctuary right here. It only needs to illuminate a very, very small area, and a smaller menorah can do that. So again, in chapter 25, starting in verse 31, it says this: "You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, the flowers shall be of one piece." The word lampstand, menorah, and it means lampstand. I hope that really ministered to you. The reason why I bring that up, it could also mean candlestick. But candlestick gives you this misnomer, this understanding that there's actually candles. There's not. There's no candles to this. It's from oil. It's lit from an oil lamp, okay? And as a matter of fact, look, props. So when you go to Israel, this is a lamp right here, okay? And this is a normal oil lamp that you would find in the days of Moses, the days of Jesus, in order to light up their household. They'll have several of them. If you wanted to go someplace, you would light this up. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." What's so interesting about this is that when you light it, it just, in its pitch black, it will give you enough light to make one step. And then it will light up the next step. It kind of talks about your faith in the Lord, doesn't it? We are to walk with the Lord. He's going to speak to us, tell us what it is we're supposed to do. And we take one step at a time. Until you do that, he's not going to show you the next step. Until you do that, he's not going to show you the next step. Okay? And so I would submit to you that if you put this in your mindset, maybe a little bit bigger, we'll be able to show you. These are the type of lamps that is probably on top of the lampstand, and being seven of them to be able to light up the room, okay? So just a little visual for you right there. And I know you're thinking, all right, cool, today, props. "It shall be made of a talent of pure gold, and all these utensils," it says in verse 39 of Exodus 25. So the actual lampstand is made from a talent of gold, along with the other utensils that go to service it. And if a talent of gold is somewhere from between 75 and 100 pounds, let's say that it was 90 pounds. If it was 90 pounds, or 16 ounces to a pound, and if an ounce of gold today is worth $2,800, which it is right now, if you were to make this, this would be worth about $4 million. Now, when I went over this back in 2007, I have old notes, it was $780 an ounce. And so at that time, I was saying, hey, you know, this lampstand would be worth over $1 million today. And here it is. Today, it'll be over $4 million. So, again, it was a very, very expensive piece, even in their day and age. So, again, in verse 31, it says, "You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, its flowers shall be of one piece." How do these brick-laying Israelites out of Egypt know how to make such an artistic, elaborate thing out of gold, one piece of gold, to be able to be placed there as a lampstand there in the holy place? How on earth does anyone know how to make that? I want you to go to Exodus chapter 35. They did not have the skill. They had no idea how to make all these elaborate ornamental things like the Ark of the Covenant, and with the cherubim on it, and the table of showbread, and how did they make, how did they know how to do this? Well, because in verse 30 here of chapter 35, it says, "And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, all manner of workmanship." To do what? To design artistic works, to work in the gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, to work in all manner of artistic workmanship, thoughtful design. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him. And Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, the tribe of Dan, he has filled with the skill to do all manner of work of the engraver, designer, tapestry maker in blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. And so Bezalel, Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work and service of the sanctuary shall do according to all the Lord God has commanded. And Moses called Bezalel, Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord has put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. Now, go over here to chapter 37. So where we are, God is speaking to Moses to make these things, okay? Here in chapter 37, all right, it is now, or chapter 35, Moses is now speaking, okay? He's speaking to the people, and he's going to say, these are the things we're going to make. This is how it's going to be made, because God is now putting inside of Bezalel and Aholiab this, the wisdom that's needed to carry out these things. So here in chapter 37, it says, then Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood. He's going to make the ark of the covenant here. In verse 10, he begins to make the table of showbread. But look what it says in verse 17. He also made the lampstand of pure gold, of hammered work. He made the lampstand, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, its flowers were of the same piece, the six branches. And it goes on and on. And we, what you read here is what we're reading here in chapter 25. And so to create this lampstand is actually supernatural. The interesting thing is we're not given the dimensions. All the other pieces so far, we have given the dimensions. How high it's supposed to be, how wide it's supposed to be. Here, we're not given the dimensions of the lampstand. It's supernatural knowledge that God gave Bezalel. He's going to know how to make it. He's going to know how to make it. As a matter of fact, because of this, it's not molded. It is hammered out from one piece of gold. It is hammered out. And they don't even have the technology today to do that. Because every time they try to do that, it's too top heavy and it falls over. And it's very malleable and begins to move and fall apart and things like that. They don't even have the understanding how to do it today. As a matter of fact, this picture here from the Temple Institute here, this is what they have. This is actually a... the frame of this is of bronze, and they've coated it in 24 karat gold. That's the only way they can make it stand, all right? This is not of pure gold, okay? So this is bronze, and then it's overlaid in 24 karat gold, and it's huge. Here's some people right there. Now, granted, they're a little further away, but I would say that's probably about, I don't know, maybe 8 feet tall, okay? It's huge. So again, how did God do this? Because he's God, and he knows some things that we don't know, and was able to give it to the designer, and it worked in their day, okay? And we can't even figure out how to do it today. I would submit to you that the gold, as we've already shown, is the chief of all the metals. We've already shown how gold speaks of God himself, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's interesting, this gold is hammered or beaten or smitten to make one piece. And it kind of shows hardship and suffering. In Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed from death. And so, again, this speaks of Jesus' suffering. He was pure. He was God. And he suffered for the sin of mankind. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus told the church of Laodicea, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. Jesus, who is the gold, produces true faith in his believers. Christians, we are also going to have to go through a hammering experience. Have you ever heard the term, I'm just getting hammered right now? Just think about what you're saying there. I'm becoming Christ-like right now. I'm being hammered right now. Yeah. And you know why? Because Jesus was hammered. Because Jesus was hammered. It's gold tried in the fire. It's why Peter would say in 1 Peter 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so indeed, we are being tried as gold as well. And so we could show the genuineness of our faith. And because Jesus suffered, we're going to have to suffer. So let's read the rest here in Exodus chapter 25. Starting in verse 32. And as we read this, you should get a picture of what this lampstand is all about. And six branches shall come out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of one side, three branches of the lampstand out of the other side. Three bowls shall be made like almond blossoms on one branch with the ornamental knob and a flower, and three bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch with an ornamental knob and flower. And so for the six branches that come out of a lampstand, when you think of branches, what do you think of? A tree. On the lampstand itself, four bowls shall be made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower. There shall be a knob under the first two branches of the same, a knob under the second two branches of the same, a knob under the third two branches of the same, according to the six branches that extend from the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches shall be of one piece. All of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it. So are these lamps part of the lampstand, or are they separate? And they shall arrange its lamps, plural, so that they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold, and it shall be made of talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. So again, this was shown to Moses of what it's supposed to look like. Okay. He obviously passes that down to Bezalel, and through that, Bezalel also gets wisdom from the Lord of how to artistically make this that we just read. And again, no dimensions are given. Why isn't any dimensions given for the lampstand that represents Jesus, who is the light of the world? Is it possible because his light is immeasurable? I thought of that, just so you know. I don't really know. But a lot of you are going, yeah, that's what I was thinking. But you should get from this that the lampstand is a picture of a tree. So we're going to have a picture of it right here. So I like this one the best. We're going to get a close-up of these here in a moment. But this is kind of, you know, what one artist's rendition of what the lampstand is. And so again, there are other ones, but I liked the way this is depicted here, as we're going to be able to see the knobs and the flowers and all those kind of things here. But I think you can see that you have the shaft right here, you have the branches coming out, and that it kind of portrays a tree is what we're looking at here. In verse 33, it says, these three bowls shall be made like almond blossoms on one branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. Three bowls made like blossoms, almond blossoms on the other branch with an ornamental knob and flower. So for the six branches that come out of the lampstand. And so Here we see these three terms being used, bowls, knob, flowers. And so in the Hebrew, the word bowls here is gavia, and it means cup or bowl. And when it speaks of a flower, it speaks of the calyx of the flower. And so for you botanists, you'll understand what that is. The knob here is kaftor. It means bulb. Flower is pirach, and it means flower. Okay? But when you look at these on this next slide here, you can see them pointing here that this is the one that's probably not the clearest of all of them. It would have been great if they did it right here, so I'm going to go over here so you can see. This is the bowl. This is the calyx right here, okay? This would be the knob right here. This would be the flower that's coming out of the knob, okay? Or the bud is what that is. And so you have that all through the shaft and on all the branches and things like that. That is what it would look like. So again, this speaks of a tree. Now, some have said, it seems to me that this is probably pointing to the tree of life. Well, I would agree with that. And because of that, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 2. We are going to see that when it comes to the tabernacle and everything and all the display of, it's kind of like the Israelites, mankind, meeting with God again in the Garden of Eden, with all the things that portray as you walk in there, with the cherubim there guarding the way, kind of like the cherubim were guarding the tree of life once they kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. So here in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 9, we see this. And out of the ground of the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now go to verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, did they die that day? Some of you say no. Some of you say yes. Yes and no. It's interesting. Go over here to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living being. The word life here in the Hebrew is a noun that's in the plural form that means lives. That'd be more one. Thus, I would submit to you that God himself breathed into them, gave them physical life and spiritual life. Amen. Thus, they did die that day. They died spiritually. They died spiritually. The light of life went out in them. Okay? In Romans 3:23, it says, you have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The word glory there means honor. It means brightness. Jesus is the light of life that we're going to see here in a moment. And that is what was snuffed out that day. Physically, they were alive. But now that light, in order to truly see God, who he is now gone. They died spiritually that day. Let nothing ever separate us
from the holy love of God. Thanks for spending part of your Tuesday with us on Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. We'll be back tomorrow to continue our study through the book of Exodus. Don't miss it. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids' ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.